And welcome to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host for the next 30 minutes as we have a conversation about faith. And on this show, we share testimonies and faith journeys intended to encourage you if you're already a believer and challenge you a little bit if you're still checking out faith, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing from the Word of God. So that's what we do on this program. We're going to share some of the Word of God, we're going to talk about the Bible, and then we're going to talk about some real life stories that people have gone through. We like to open the program with a scripture reading. This is a longer reading, so bear with me. I have been with this chapter the entire week, and it will not let go of me. So I hope our listeners today, I hope that this touches you as well. This is from the Old Testament. It's from the book of Psalms, Psalm 51, read in the Passion Translation. So bear with me. It's a little bit lengthy, but there's some really good stuff in here. It goes like this. God, give me mercy from your fountain of forgiveness. I know your abundant love is enough to wash away my guilt. Because your compassion is so great, take away the shameful guilt of sin. Forgive the full extent of my rebellious ways and erase this deep stain on my conscience. For I'm so ashamed. I feel such pain and anguish within me. I can't get away from the sting of my sin against you, Lord. Everything I did right in front of you, for you saw it all. Against you, and you above all, have I sinned. Everything you say to me is infallibly true, and your judgment conquers me. Lord, I have been a sinner from my birth, from the moment my mother conceived me. I know that you delight to set your truth deep in my spirit. So come into the hidden places of my heart and teach me wisdom. Purify my conscience, make this leper clean again. Wash me in your love until I am pure in heart. Satisfy me in your sweetness, and my song of joy will return. The places within me you have crushed will rejoice in your healing touch. Hide my sins from your face. Erase all my guilt from your saving grace. Create a new, clean heart within me. Fill me with pure thoughts and holy desires ready to please you. May you never reject me. May you never take from me your sacred spirit. Let my passion for life be restored, tasting joy in every breakthrough you bring to me. Hold me close to you with a willing spirit that obeys whatever you say. Then I can show to other guilty ones how loving and merciful you are. They will find their way back home to you, knowing that you will forgive them. O God, my saving God, deliver me fully from every sin, even the sin that brought blood guilt. Then my heart will once again be thrilled to sing the passionate songs of joy and deliverance. Lord God, unlock my heart, unlock my lips, and I will overcome with my joyous praise. For the source of your pleasure is not in my performance or the sacrifices I might offer to you. The fountain of your pleasure is found in the sacrifice of my shattered heart before you. You will not despise my tenderness as I humbly bow down at your feet. Because you favor Zion, do what is good for her. Be the protecting wall around Jerusalem, and when we are fully restored, you will rejoice and take delight in every offering of our lives as we bring our sacrifices of righteousness before you in love. Again, that was Psalm 51. Thanks for bearing with me. I know it was long, but there's just a couple that I want to repeat here real quick. It says, for the source of your pleasure is not in my performance or the sacrifice I might offer to you. The fountain of your pleasure is found in the sacrifice of my shattered heart before you. Those two verses have gripped me all week. So again, I hope that touches you. I hope it does something for you. It's Psalm 51. Please go back and read it. And again, I pray that God touches you through his word. So, want to let you know, we have all our podcasts loaded on iTunes, and we also have a website. It's everydayfaithradio.com. Please let us know if we can pray for you, as we'd love to pray for you. no matter what you're going through. Again, this is Everyday Faith Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Please stay with us as we take a break, and we'll be right back with today's guest. Please stay with us.
Fox on Family.
My tween daughter recently tried one of those famous kid phrases. You can't tell me what to do. Well, I can, because I'm the parent. But is that the best way to respond?
You can't argue. All you can do is not lose your cool.
Parenting author Harry Harrison Jr. says you can respect their feelings and have a discussion. For instance, if it's pushback on curfew or bedtime.
What I would suggest is that you don't argue, but sit down with us and why do you think you should stay up late? What benefit do you see staying up late? Because we're talking about being prepared at school. We're talking about being awake.
But don't let a discussion turn into an argument. And he says, don't waver.
You're the parent. You just want to establish your role. And that's so important. They want that authority. They're crying for it. And the moment you let go of that authority is when things start to spiral downhill.
Harrison also says the more time we spend getting to know our kids, having real conversations when there isn't a problem, the easier it might be to prevent arguments. With Fox and Family, I'm Lisa Brady.
And then you're out of desperation. No, you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
And welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host, and with us on the program today, we have my friend, my good friend, John Stacy. John, thanks for joining us on the program. I have to apologize again for going so long on Psalm 51, but John, you know me well enough. As I study God's Word, sometimes I get into a passage and I can't get out. It's like God is talking directly to me through His Word. And Psalm 51, when you go back and look at the historical context of that psalm that was written by King David, it was right after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba. And here he is. You know, I just find it fascinating. He's the king of God's chosen people, the Israelites. He's the king. He's already been crowned a man after God's own heart. And yet he ends up in a situation where even the king falls and sins. And he falls into this adultery with Bathsheba. And then if you read the rest of that story, he ends up essentially having Bathsheba's husband Uriah killed in battle. And so this whole thing, it goes really, really bad. But during Psalm 51, what gives me such hope as I read that, John, is that I'm reading that and essentially King David is just, he's pouring out his heart, and it gets, he's pouring out his heart to God, crying out to God. And one of the themes that we've had on this show is that oftentimes when life is at its worst and your life is a train wreck, those are the times when if you turn to the Lord, you become the most eligible for an encounter with God. And David proves that in his lowest moment, probably in his life, he has this intimate time with the Lord. And I read that and I'm just like, wow, that is just blows me away. But hey, John, thanks for being on the show.
Glad to be here. I just hope folks don't think you're trying to give me a message about Bathsheba and what's
no,
going on there.
No. But the Spirit does its work, right? No, I just had to share with you. It's just, I was just so blown away by that. And again, I often, when I read a passage, I'll read it in the NIV usually first, and then I might roll over to the Amplified or the Expanded Bible. In this case, where I really found it was speaking to me was in the Passion Translation. And so, anyway, John, I really want to get to you. And on the show, what we like to do is talk a little bit at the beginning about one's faith journey. So would you kind of walk us through kind of how you have become a man of faith?
Sure, I'll be glad to do that. So grew up in Charlottesville and attended church, Westminster Presbyterian, and sort of had the religion piece going. And I think over time it's developed more into what's the real relationship and what's the real faith piece of it, not just the religion part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, the place that really sort of made the biggest difference was coming back to Charlottesville. So went to University of Virginia here and then worked my way out to the San Francisco Bay Area and spent 30 years in Silicon Valley. Came back in 2010 and quickly met you and Rob Archer and a number of folks. And there was a faith and leadership group that I discovered when it was probably still about a dozen people. And I remember meeting in Arches.
Arches Frozen Yogurt.
Yeah. And I had been encouraged a lot at the church out in Menlo Park, California, which was a large church, but a very good one with great sermons and messages. But it had 5,000 members. And what was often said was, hey, join a small group. It really makes a difference. Mm-hmm. And I never really did that. But when I got here, I found that the Faith and Leadership group, in effect, became my small group. Mm-hmm. Even though now we're up to 50 people out at the Hyatt and, you know, 50 over at Farmington and other places like that, it still has that small group feel. Mm. And what it's done is it has encouraged me to really take a look at the Bible on a daily basis. One of the things that Pete Hartwig brought up that's helped me a lot was that if you look at Proverbs, there's one for every day of the month. And I find that I'll get up and I'll try to read that every morning. And the great thing is, even on the 10th, 12th, 15th reading, there's something new mm-hmm. that's in there. And the Bible is saying something that I didn't pick up before. And so, you know, I'd encourage people to take a look from that standpoint, because the Bible can be hard to get into and to really understand. And just as you just read a really long psalm, I turn to those as well. And you've given me some short ones that are great. You know, there's the traditional Psalm 23 that we'll talk a little bit more when we talk about my son Kendall, but also Psalm 91, which is a great one that talks about angels lifting you up. But there's also a place there that's 911 that may have a message in and of itself. And then lastly, the one that you've given me that's been the most help is Genesis 50:20. Mm. Where it talks about what was meant for evil, God will turn to good and the saving of many lives. And
mm-hmm.
And again, when we get into Kendall's story, that speaks to me tremendously, and that's what we really hope we do is we, you know, we help folks save lives.
Why do you think, and this is Everyday Faith Radio, John Stacy is our guest on the program. John, why do you think it is so difficult for people to, let's talk about the relationship piece. It seems like the religion and dutiful piece of church sort of kind of comes naturally to a lot of people. Maybe we're check the box type people. Okay, I went to church, check, and then kind of move on. But when it comes to that part about relationship and having a relationship with God through Jesus, why do you think that's so difficult for people? And I ask that question as one who's really struggled with it.
Well, I'm sort of surprised you say that for you, because as you and I have talked, you have moments where you hear God talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I think a lot of us, me included, we think we're supposed to have those burning bush moments where it's really clear. And what I've realized over time is if I really step back and I think about prayers that I've had, and I really look, I'll find there are places where they've been answered. It's just they've been answered in a way that was very different than what I may have wanted or what I may have been looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And as you start to build sort of a library of those and see those coming, I think that starts to open things up for asking yourself, okay, what's God trying to teach me here? And what are ways that God winks at me?
Mm-hmm.
And we can talk about that a little bit more later on as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm flattered that you said that about the relationship piece with respect to my life. But John, in full disclosure, and the listeners have heard me talk about this, I'm not kidding. I went through a 40-year period of my life where, maybe I heard a little something from God, but there was certainly no relationship aspect to my walk with faith. It was more check the box, check the box, check the box. And then once I had kind of a breakthrough encounter with Jesus, the psalmist, King David, who we've talked about in Psalm 51 and Psalm 16, he pens this verse. It says, in your presence is fullness of joy. And I had the opportunity of experiencing that about a decade ago, is experiencing that fullness of joy. And for what I found is when I had that experience, encounter, whatever you want to call it, with Jesus, I found that nothing else would do. And that became kind of the new obsession of my life, healthy obsession of my life. And once I sort of got kind of, if you would, poked by Jesus, I just continued to pursue. And what I found is the more that, and this is biblical, lean into God and he will lean into you. What I found is the more that I kind of dug in, and the place for me to dig in was scripture, because it was all kind of fresh territory for me. I hadn't really read the Bible before. And so all of a sudden I'm reading and reading and consuming. And the Bible even says that, as you follow the Lord, he will reveal himself to you. I'm paraphrasing. But when you start to receive that revelation, everything changes. Everything changes. And I will say, it hasn't been easy. Doesn't mean your life will be easy from that point forward, but you get a new perspective, and I will say everything's better. Hasn't been easy. Been hard, but everything's better, and even during some really, really difficult times. We're going to take a break here. This is Everyday Faith Radio. We have my friend John Stacy on the program. We're going to talk about, in the second half of the program, how God shows up during the hardest times of our life. Please stay with us. This is Everyday Faith Radio. We'll be right back in just a moment.
It's coming right now. Book it, Dano. The big wave of fabulous fall events coming to your Fluvanna County Library. Tuesday and Friday morning story time for the little ones. Free movies of all kinds every Friday for the kids. Even No School Today movies. There'll be Moonlight Madness and winter reading programs for kids, teens, and adults. Cool prizes, too.
Can I go now?
Of course. Book it, Dano, right on over to your fabulous Fluvanna County Library.
The fabulous Fluvanna County book sale starts November 1st. Don't miss it.
And then you're out of desperation. No, you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
And welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host. With us on the program today, we have my friend, John Stacy, with us. John, we want to talk about the period in your life that I know has been very painful for you, and we want to talk about the loss of your son and how God showed up for you in some very difficult and painful circumstances. Can you, to the extent you can you just walk us through that?
Sure. You mentioned in the psalm about leaning in, and it reminded me of what I've learned, which is lean not on your own understanding. And so there are lots of times where I've questioned, why God, and why is this happening, and what are you trying to teach me? I came back to Charlottesville in 2010, really after God had knocked me to my knees. I mean, things were pretty great out in California, being in the heart of Silicon Valley in a really remarkable time, and around some amazing people and things like that. And I think it was one of those things where, hey, John, you're a pretty good guy, but you could stand to be a little bit more empathetic and really be giving a little bit more to other people and things like that. And so he just threw so many things at me at one point that I realized, hey, I cannot control everything. And that's when you step back and you go, okay, I've really got to lean into God, and I've got to rely on God to help out on things. And so that brought me back here, and I'm telling that because when Kendall passed away unexpectedly, I was out in California and making preparations to bring Kendall back here and get ready and talking to a lot of his friends and the families that he was close to and things like that. And a friend of mine said, so Stace, how's it going? And I said, you know, it's hard. It's really hard, but I feel like I'm doing more ministering than people to me. And my friend said, well, maybe now you know what God was getting you ready for when he put you through that hard time and that sort of thing. Because one, it was getting me prepared to be able to handle it. But two, it was also being able to help other folks from that standpoint.
That's interesting. So what I'm picturing here is kind of this, and I can relate to it, is this wilderness period that you go through. And that's biblical when you talk about Jesus in Luke's gospel. Right after he's baptized, before he starts his ministry, he's sent out by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. And it's this refining preparation period for when he's going to go begin his 3-year ministry. And when you think about how that applies to your life and my life, is, you know, maybe we have this wilderness experience that is painful, but yet you build up the Jesus muscle, the God muscle. You build up this closeness, this intimacy, this being able, as you said, being able to not rely on your own understanding, but rely on God in those moments. That's interesting.
So the thing, there are a couple things here that I'd like to bring out to help folks if they in the event that they're helpful to people. And one of them is around, I'll go for the people who've seen The Gladiator, it might seem weird to bring that movie up in here, but at the very end, the African who has been through the whole thing with Russell Crowe, or who was the gladiator, you know, he's burying these figurines of the gladiator and his wife, and he turns and he looks to heaven, and he has this smile on his face, and he says, we are free, and I will see you again, my friend, but not yet. Mm-hmm. And I bring that up because for me, you know, in some respects, I mean, Kendall and I, we had a wonderful relationship. I mean, there was never a time, he called me almost every single day. There was not a day where, or not a call where we didn't say, I love you at the end of it. Mm-hmm. And so from that standpoint, all those pieces fit very well together with that. And as much as I miss him every single day, and I know there are a lot of parents and siblings and others and people who miss their loved ones, I'm confident that I will see Kendall again, and I'm confident that he's in a better place. Again, I still struggle with, okay, Lord, why'd you take somebody who was so empathetic and great with people and did so much so quickly? But that's a whole nother topic, probably.
Mm. Well, what you've just described there in your faith journey is walking by faith and not by sight. I mean, that you're living it out, and it's really touching to see. And I've seen others on this program who have a strong faith and are kind of resolute in knowing that they will see them again.
And I say that as something for others to you, mm-hmm. so that because in the grand scheme of things, as someone said to me, the time we spend here is but a blink. Mm-hmm. And if you think that, okay, I will see that loved one on the other side, then it makes. But we have to get our work done. That's the thing is, I tell folks, you can't. You know, Kendall got his work done early, mm-hmm. and I can't explain why God decided that he was finished early, but we have to get ours done too.
Let me ask you something about the Apostle Paul writes a lot about this peace that transcends all understanding. And during the tragedy of the loss of your son, can you look back and say that you experienced a peace that transcends all understanding? Did you find that? Did you feel that?
That's a great question. I think I was fortunate or blessed in that a couple of things. One is that Kendall and I had the relationship we did, and as I look back on it, I probably spent as much time with my son, Kendall, as most dads get through a full lifetime. And so it was great from that standpoint. The other piece is I'm blessed with a wonderful son, John, who is Kendall's older brother. And he's doing beautifully, and things are going really well for him, and he has a strong faith. And so I think there's that piece that's there from that standpoint. And again, there's another piece of advice that a good friend who lost his son gave me, which was, John, there are going to be all these times where you want to second-guess yourself. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say this again to parents who may have kids who are struggling with drugs or with alcohol or with whatever it might be. And where that really came home to me was Kendall was sharing a house in San Francisco with a 43-year-old school teacher. And she was not there when he died very unexpectedly. So he had a seizure, collapsed, and she was just completely freaked out by that. And she called me, and she said, I should have been there. And without thinking about it, my answer was, that wasn't the plan. And she goes, what? And I said, if God had wanted you to be there, you would have been there. And that completely flipped things for her to now where she feels like she has an angel in her house looking after her and that sort of thing. But what the real gift was to me, because when I got off the phone, I went, all right, if I'm going to say that to her, I have to believe that too.
You have to listen to your own message there.
Right. I mean, and again, there's got to be the trust and the faith that God's plan is, it's the plan. And while we may not understand it, it's that's the plan.
John Stacy, I have so many more questions to ask you, and it's fantastic to have you on this show. Thank you so much for your walk of faith. But I want to ask you this as we close out the program. Any of our listeners driving down the road, listening at home, they don't yet have faith. They haven't been able to receive that grace from God. What would you say to somebody who's kind of living outside of faith, that they're curious, they're interested, they want what you have?
A couple of thoughts on that, and I love that question. One would be, try to be aware of where you might be getting winks from God. And an example I'll give is that when I went back to San Francisco, when I was clearing out Kendall's room, I came across his Bible that was on his bed. And literally the last day that we talked, we had been reading through the Bible, and I had pointed out Psalm 91 to him, and we'd been talking about angels. And then we went to Psalm 23. And when I got into his room, his Bible was open to Psalm 23. And I was telling Rob Archer about that, and he just goes, oh, John, that's a wink. And I went, a wink? What? He said, that's a wink from God. He's telling you everything's okay.
That's right.
And I can look at other places where that's happening. So I would just encourage other people to kind of to look and see, hey, is there a prayer that you had that did get answered? Or is there something happening where there's a wink that's coming to you? And with that, maybe that'll help you grow. And think of the times where you have had good things happen to you.
John Stacy, thanks again. And to all of our listeners, I would take John Stacy's advice. Look for the God winks. This is Everyday Faith Radio. Thanks for tuning in. John, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Heal a broken heart. Let your prayer.